Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As Israel made the journey toward Canaan and approached the east side of the Jordan River, the tribes of Reuben and Gad made request of Moses that they be allowed to live in lands on the east side of the river. They said they would leave their wives and children and possessions there, and cross over the river with the rest of the tribes as armed men, and continue in the battle of deliverance until all the tribes had secured their homeland. Well, Moses agreed to this arrangement, but he also warned these men, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Numbers 32 and verse 23. Well, now the warning was clear, wasn't it? If they did not do as they had promised, their misdeed would be as one that searched and sought for them until retribution for their transgression was paid. Since the beginning of time, and from the first sin that entered the world, people have tried to escape the consequences of their sins, only to eventually have them discovered. And what they have sown comes back to them in a harvest that they are forced to reap. No matter how the sin might be committed, it will ultimately be exposed. Sin may be committed in secret, as was the sin of Cain. In Genesis 4, we read how Cain was jealous of his brother Abel. Cain seemed to have pretended a friendship with Abel that enabled him to get into a position to do him harm. Genesis 4 and verse 8 says, "And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Cain thought nobody knew what he had done." But it was not long thereafter that God came to Cain and asked him where Abel was. Cain responded in a way that feigned the ignorance of Abel's whereabouts, and as if he knew nothing. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Whereupon God let Cain know that his crime against his brother was fully known. And Cain was cursed because of his evil deed, and he would have to till the ground, but it would not produce its strength. He would be a vagabond and a wanderer, never at rest. He would be a fugitive. Nobody would like him, but would seek to do him harm. If Cain were brought, as it were, to witness stand and ask, "Is it true that your sin will find you out?" There's no question as to what his answer would be. As Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Sin may have been committed long before it is finally discovered and exposed. But nonetheless, be sure your sin will find you out. Consider the story of Joseph and his brothers. His brothers sold him into slavery because they were jealous of him. They hated him. And even though Joseph provoked them to some degree because of this hatred, they were not justified in doing what they did to him and selling him as a slave, in lying to their father as if Joseph had been slain. They were not justified in their sins. But many years passed, and many events took place in the life of Joseph that none could have supposed would ever have occurred. Gradually, and doubtless through the providence of God, Joseph was raised from slavery to be the head of the house of Potiphar, wrongfully accused and placed in prison only to rise to be the head of the prisoners, and eventually, as the interpreter of the dreams of Pharaoh, he was lifted to the second rank in all the land. And there he ruled at the time that famine struck the entire area, including Canaan and the homeland of Jacob and Joseph's brothers. The brothers came to Egypt to buy grain, never thinking that they were on their way to meet their brother that they had sold into slavery. Before Joseph eventually revealed himself to them, they went through much agony and concern. Strange things seemed to happen to them regarding their money being given back, and one of them placed in prison as a hostage. witnessing more grief for their father as he mourned over the loss of Joseph, then Simeon, and his concern for the continuation of the famine. When Joseph did not let them know who he was, they were greatly fearful, but even more so when he did identify himself unto them. And even after Jacob died, they thought Joseph would take vengeance on them. How many times they paid and they paid and they paid because of their sin against their brother. Their conscience hurt them down through the years. Yes, just ask these brothers, is it true that your sin will find you out? Sin may be thought to be well covered, only to rise up again and haunt the sinner. Take the account of Achan and the overthrow of the city of Jericho. He tried to hide his sin. Before Israel took the city, God, through Joshua, warned the people not to take of the spoils of the city of Jericho for themselves, because it would belong to the treasure of the Lord. But when Achan saw some of this goods, and his greed and covetousness rose within him, it was more than he could control. And he took certain things, and he buried them in his tent, supposing that his theft was adequately covered, never imagining how his sin would eventually find him out. But when Israel went against the little city of Ai, they suffered a temporary defeat. Joshua inquired of God as to the reason for this setback, and God told him there was sin in the camp. And upon investigation, the sin of Achan was uncovered. Achan and all of his were taken out and destroyed because they had violated God's way, and they had thought, at least he thought, they had covered their sin. And we might ask Achan, as if he were providing us with evidence, is it true, Achan, that your sin will find you out? Luke 12 and verse 2 reads, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. And when we think of people trying to cover their sins, we think how David tried to cover his sin with Bathsheba by lying and plotting and scheming and eventually conspiring and being a part of murder. But the prophet Nathan came and told him a certain story that exposed David, followed by the famous words of accusation, thou art the man. And he convinced David that his sin would find him out. And from that time, until David left the walks of men, he suffered distress, primarily coming from his own family, just as Nathan the prophet said it would be. It may well be that many people sin because they are prompted and encouraged to sin by other people. We certainly have influence on each other. People can lead others to sin, but each one is accountable before God for his or her sin and must give an account. And even though somebody else may have been a contributing factor to our sin, it still will find us out. Turning to 1 Kings 2 and verse 22, we read of the king of northern Israel and Naboth. Offering to buy Naboth's vineyard, but being refused, Ahab acted as a spoiled child and pouted about being denied. But his evil wife Jezebel told him that she would take care of the matter, and he gave her his ring of authority, and she began her evil plotting. She had false witnesses to testify against Naboth that he was guilty of blasphemy, and Naboth was executed. Then Jezebel seized the vineyard and gave it to Ahab. But what Ahab and Jezebel had not counted on was the work of Elijah, God's prophet. He came to Ahab and he told him that his deeds were known, and that dogs would lick his blood and the blood of Jezebel in the very vineyard they had taken from Naboth. Now, it didn't happen immediately. But in time, Ahab was wounded in battle and was brought back to the place of his crime, and there he died. And the dogs came and licked up his blood. Jezebel later was thrown down from a high window, and the dogs consumed her body. Ask them, is it true that your sin will find you out? Does one really have to habitually pay for his sins? Now, when Ahab was refused the vineyard, he seems to have given up the idea of possessing it. But he was led into the grievous transgressions by his wicked wife. But he shared the guilt and the responsibility in the things that were done, and his sin was found out. Jeremiah wrote, "For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes." Jeremiah 16 and verse 17. Sometimes people sin ignorantly, not realizing the enormity of the evil that they are committing. Such was certainly the case with the Jews as they called for the crucifixion of Christ. Through that very nation, God had designed that the Savior would come. But when the prophesied and promised Messiah came on the scene, the Jews rejected him, and led by their leaders who hated the Christ, they denounced him. They asked Pilate to have him killed. All the while, they thought they were doing what God would want them to do, with such a one as they perceived to be a pretender and a blasphemer. But what they did in ignorance. Peter preached and said to them, "And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it." Acts 3 and verse 17. But here's the point. Even so, they were held responsible. There actually was no excuse for their ignorance anyway. When one does something wrong, even though he may not be aware that it is wrong, he has still done something wrong. He may not do his deeds with evil intent, but wrong can be done even with the intention of having done right. People can sin ignorantly, but they are still guilty of sin. The crime they committed against Jesus meant they were estranged from God. They were sinners. They were lost. And they were made aware of this. The inspired apostles preached forthrightly to the Jews in the condemnation of their sins and warned them of the fearful hell that awaited those who rejected Christ. Has not the Jewish nation even to this day been a hiss and a byword? Are they not the object of persecution in almost every land where they exist? Did not they say that the blood of Christ should be on them and on their children? Do we not see how that even yet their sins find them out, even though those living now are not guilty of the sins of their foreparents? Just like many people today suffer because of the slavery of black people, not being guilty of it, but still, sin finds people out. Sin may be committed under the sudden impulse of passion, or under the influence of strong drink, or to please the crowd and gratify the public. Samson, Esau, Pilate, all of these sinned in a fashion like that. One can even sin with the approval and participation of those in authority, like Judas. But who can doubt? Be sure your sin will find you out. But there's another side to this that we want to bring to our attention as we close. Thanks be to God, we can be forgiven of our sin. God provided Christ for that specific purpose. We can belong to that company of the saved, which is the church that belongs to Christ, and can be forgiven of all guilt. Now, we may well suffer some hardship and certain temporal consequences because of sin, but we do not have to face God in judgment condemned. And if sin is not forgiven, and we may even think that we've not been found out here on this earth, there is the judgment eventually. None then will doubt the fact. Be sure your sin will find you out. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.